evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, May 14, 2021. The United Nations condemns the killing of an aid worker in eastern Equatorial State.
These employees of Cotaid were shot and was taken to, the body was taken to Kupoita, and that is true, it was confirmed.
And four bodyguards of the governor of Central Equatorial State were killed during an ambush along the Jubaye Road.
Yesterday at around one, the governor's convoy fell into ambush in an area called Pagwada, near mile 56 in Ganji Payam of Juba County. The ugly incident led to the loss of life and casualties.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Four bodyguards of the governor of Central Equatorial State were shot dead by unknown gunmen when the governor's convoy was ambushed along the Jubaye Road on Thursday. Central Equatorial State Minister of Information says the convoy was traveling from Juba to Ye when it fell into an ambush. For VOA News, Viola Elias has more from Juba.
Central Equatorial State Information Minister Paulino Lukudu says Governor Adil's convoy was attacked in Ganji Payam of Juba County yesterday afternoon.
Yesterday at around one, the governor's convoy fell into ambush in an area called Kwagwada, near mile 56 in Ganji Payam of Juba County. The ugly incident led to the loss of life and casualties. Four people were killed. The security forces that were accompanying the convoy to Ye, and two people were injured. And the four people which fall into this ambush, two of them are organized force from the national security and two from the police. And the other two are also from the police, but currently they are under medical attention. The attackers, of course, is not known up to today, but we are making findings on the issue to know who in particular targeted the convoy.
Bodyguard Emmanuel Taban Francis died on the spot. The other three bodyguards died from their injuries later at Ye Civil Hospital. Lukudu says the attackers have not been identified, but the state authorities suspect National Salvation Front rebels carried out the attack. Lukudu says the attackers likely targeted Governor Adil convoy and his high-profile delegation.
When you look at the nature of the attack, they mainly target the vehicles of the governor and the minister of the local government and law enforcement. His vehicle is completely destroyed, is sprayed with several bullets, and the vehicle of the governor is also sprayed with bullets and other vehicle which is very close. So from the nature of the attack, it is well-organized attack against the government official, in particular the high-profile delegation who is supposed to reach to Ye yesterday with their convoy safe.
Minister Lukudu admits that insecurity is a big problem in some of the state's counties and along the Juba-Ye Road in particular. He is strongly advising the public to avoid using the road until authorities develop a strategy to combat rampant attack along the road.
I don't advise people to use this road, especially today or tomorrow, because their safety will not be guaranteed, as we have seen what happened yesterday. So the commissioner, the minister of the local government, and the governor is going to work out modalities on how the travelers along this road will be protected, whether they will be supported with the convoy from the commissioner or from the state level, or they will be allowed to travel alone. So we are assessing the level of the security along this road, and it is not advisable for this road to be used as for today or tomorrow until we decide so.
Last month, more than 10 people were killed in three separate ambushes along the Jubaye Road. The two attacks occur between Kulipapa and Ganji in Juba County, while the other happened between Limbe and Kenyi Payam in Lanya County. Attempts to reach the rebel group National Salvation Army, or NAS, for comment were unsuccessful, as NAS spokesperson Suba Samuel's phone was unreachable. In the past, Samuel has repeatedly denied his group attacked travelers along the Juba-Yei Road. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still on security matters, four civilians were killed and two others injured during an ambush along the Yei Kaya Road on Wednesday. The Archbishop of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church of South Sudan condemned the attack and urged the government and holdout groups to respect the cessation of hostility agreement signed in December 2017. For VOA News, Daniel Martin Friday reports from Yei.
Dozens of mourners wailed openly as they viewed the bodies of the victims at Yei Civil Hospital mortuary yesterday. One of the survivors of the attack, who prefers to be identified only as John for safety, says the travelers were attacked by armed men in Payawa village of Yei River County on Wednesday evening.
Some unknown armed men jumped on the road and stopped us at gunpoint, and they dragged us into the bush and took all our bags, our money, and they took our phones, and they ordered us to sit down. And immediately shot us, and five of us were shot dead on spot, and they shot me on my shoulders and I fell down. They thought I was dead and left the scene and went into the bush.
Dr. Joseph Malis, medical director of Yei Civil Hospital, confirms the deceased died from gunshot wounds. Malis says the two injured victims have fractured hands but are responding well to treatment.
Medically, they're currently stable. We're just treating their wounds. We're looking forward after stability if they can be taken to theater so that we can see how we can proceed with the treatment. Looking forward on how they will recover in the nearest future.
Yei River County Commissioner Egri Cyrus Kanyikwa accuses National Salvation Front rebels of carrying out the attack. Cyrus says over the past several weeks, NAS rebels have stepped up their attacks on civilians in and around Yei town.
Yesterday was the worst scenario, where civilians were gathered and randomly shot at, killing some five people and wounding two. I take this moment to announce my dismay and my condemnation to these acts of evil. This act of terror inflicted on innocent civilians is unwanted, and these cases need to be investigated as crimes against humanity as well as war crimes. I call all those waging war to refrain from attacking civilians and seek for peace. The National Salvation Front to take full responsibility to account for deaths of innocent civilians.
NAS spokesman Suba Samuel Manas denies his group attacked and killed civilians along the Yei Kaya Road.
I have not had any report from our forces on the ground on any incident that has happened, so I cannot justify what has happened there. Several times we have heard an accusation that at all companies. What is the difference that this not being part of all these business accusations? Position of hostilities means protection of civilians and their property.
Archbishop Elias Taban of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church in South Sudan condemned the repeated violations of the cessation of hostilities agreement in the Greater Yei area. Archbishop Taban is calling on the international community, the South Sudan government, and holdout groups to fully recommit to peaceful dialogue to end the suffering of civilians.
There were gunshots just close to the town, around Lotaya and around 2 miles. It is a situation that we can't really tell. All these ceasefire agreements, since the beginning of these talks, I have never experienced any ceasefire. It seems like those talks are just ended up in those cities where they are talked, on the papers they have signed, but on the ground we are equal still suffering as if nothing has been done.
As Bishop Taban called on President Kiir, First Vice President Riek Machar, Central Equatorial Governor, and the international community to pay attention to the situation in Yei, noting civilians have borne the brunt of the conflict in the area. No one has been arrested in connection with Wednesday's ambush. For VOA News, I am Daniel Friday Martin in Yei.
An international aid worker with the Netherlands-based Cord Aid was killed by unknown assailants in eastern Equatorial State when a convoy of aid workers fell into an ambush on Wednesday. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs and the South Sudan NGO Forum condemned the attack. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wood reports from Juba.
Eastern Equatoria State Information Minister Patrick Oting confirmed the attack but could not elaborate on what authorities are doing to track down the perpetrators, saying only that an investigation is underway.
These employees of Port Aid were shot and it was taken to, the body was taken to Kopoita. And that is true, it was confirmed by our people from Kopoita. So far, we still don't have a concrete information, but we have the commissioner of Buri County that has gone on the ground. So we are expecting him to feed us with the concrete information.
A female staff member of Court 8 from Uganda was fatally shot on Tuesday while on duty in an area between Chukudum and Kama 15 in Buri County and later died from her injuries, according to a statement released Wednesday by the NGO. Court 8 said the staff member was a specialist in reproductive health and was on the way from Torit to another location to support a medical facility. The statement said the convoy in which the staff member was traveling, which included vehicles operated by Court 8 and Save the Children International, came under fire from unidentified attackers. Court 8 said the staff member was struck by gunfire and was killed. A youth activist group says the incident has caused fear among 8 workers operating across the state. Daniel Mwaka, executive director for the local NGO Youth Empowerment Organization, which implements peace building and economic empowerment programs among youth and women in the state, is urging the government to quickly intervene, apprehend the suspects, and hold them accountable.
The situation is really, it has sent a very bad signal to the humanitarian workers and as the people of Eastern Equatoria as well, because this is not the first incident that has been happening. We have heard of several incidents of attack.
Mwaka notes the incident follows recent warnings by local youth in Eastern Equatoria who have complained about 8 agencies employing people from other parts of the country rather than recruiting locals.
I happen to speak to most of these the youth leaders and some community leaders, and those youth who they felt that their rights have been deprived from employment, and they distanced themselves from the incident that has been happening. Especially, we had a report that there was a staff of HealthLink and one of the UNICEF, they were attacked.
Alan Nadao, the UN humanitarian coordinator in South Sudan, condemned the killing and called on authorities and communities to ensure that humanitarian personnel can move safely along roads and deliver assistance to the most vulnerable. Nadao said in a statement released yesterday that he was shocked by the violent act and offered his condolences to the family and colleagues of the deceased. Nadao said the roads are a vital connection between humanitarian organizations and communities in need, adding, quote, "We must be able to move safely across the country without fear," end of quote. The director for the South Sudan NGO Forum, Pius Ojara, also condemned the incident and called on the government to bring the perpetrators to books and ensure a safe environment for 8 workers.
We are very sad about it, and our call is really for government to help NGOs operate safely by doing all they can to prevent this kind of needless death happening to aid workers in South Sudan.
The UN says this latest killing underscores the dangerous environment in which 8 workers operate in South Sudan. A total of 9 workers were killed in South Sudan last year, according to the UN. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, aid workers say it's not safe to deliver much-needed support to families in Sudan's Darfur region. That story is line up after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your biggest regret?
There was a time I beat up my son to the level that he cannot even stand up. So I really pity him, and then I regretted what I did, honestly. And then since then, I have never tried it again.
my biggest regret is when I lost my first wife in 2015, 12 June. But thank God, God has given me another beautiful wife.
I don't have any regret. I have actually tuned myself to know that everything that happens in life is for a purpose.
I can't say I've got a biggest regret, but it's all about challenges. I was able to learn from it and manage it so that I mean everything will go smoothly.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The United Nations World Food Programme says the security situation in Al Jinena town of West Darfur State remains challenging for delivering aid to families displaced by recent violence in the area. WFP spokesperson in Sudan says teams distributing food often require security escorts to various sites where internally displaced persons have gathered. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
WFP says as humanitarian aid agencies scale up operations to provide assistance for the needy, security remains a big concern for aid workers and many displaced persons. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus via a messaging application from Al Jinena town this week, the WFP communication officer in Sudan, Lenny Kinsley, said isolated security incidents keep on occurring which delay the distribution of food or prevent WFP teams from reaching a certain location within the town. She describes the situation in the town as challenging and unpredictable after the deadly tribal conflict which left more than 200 people dead and wounded another 200.
Security escorts are required for humanitarian convoys to go out and for trucks carrying food assistance to move to the various gathering sites within Jinena town. And now WFP is trying to expand to reach areas outside of Jinena town where people were also displaced or where residents were also affected by the clashes. And that requires additional security.
The UN official says since April the 18th, the WFP managed to distribute more than 1,100 metric tons of emergency food rations, such as cereal, lentils, and oil to more than 124,000 people. She says the displaced are staying in more than 80 gathering sites, which also makes it challenging to distribute food assistance in such a situation.
People are also gathered at various sites, mostly in public buildings such as schools, universities, and also different state ministries. So reaching people with humanitarian assistance is also a bit challenging because they're not all in one location.
Early this week, the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or UN OCHA, in Sudan, says there are more than 100 gathering sites where people are living in overcrowded and uncertainty conditions. OCHA said there are serious concerns about the possibility of disease outbreaks as the rainy season approaches. Kinsley says as much as people desire to return home, most of the displaced are still concerned about their safety.
Tensions remain high, and there are fear among communities that fighting could break out once again. So with all that, humanitarian actors are on the ground and responding as quickly as possible, but the situation remains challenging.
The WFP official said within the next 6 months, her agency will need $70.9 million to allow them to continue their operation in providing emergency response, which include school feeding programs, nutrition screening, and treatment of acute malnutrition among the local population. Kinsley is calling on Sudanese authorities to continue seeking a peaceful solution to bring about lasting peace in the area. She says humanitarian aid is not a lasting solution.
There needs to be a lasting peace and durable stability and most of all security so that people can return to their homes and they can start to establish their own livelihoods so that we can reduce the dependency on assistance and then pave the path for development moving forward.
Authorities in West Darfur State have deployed more than 200 security forces around the southern part of the town, the area hardest hit by recent intercommunal clashes between local Masalit and Arab tribes. For VOA News, I am Michael Atid in Khartoum.
We love to hear what you think about this show. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. We heard from a lot of you this week about our coverage of developments in South Sudan and Sudan, especially about President Kiir's move to reconstitute parliament. Those comments include one from Lamini in Juba who says, I welcome the reconstitution of the parliament, but I'm not sure whether it will function well since there is no separation of powers between the executive and the legislature. It will be better if the president removes those holding ministerial positions to give space for others. Gatia Kwichar in Cairo, Egypt writes, the reconstitution of the RTNLA is a very welcome step to the people of South Sudan who have been waiting in dignified silence for so long. The short period of time spent dissolving and announcing the new parliament has indicated political will and good gesture from the signatories. Our people are exposed to a number of sufferings abroad, especially in Egypt, because we are lacking peace and responsible government in South Sudan. Matt Riak Garang in Arua, Uganda says, I thank President Kiir for reconstituting the national parliament, but my concern is how the government will pay for their salaries, putting into consideration the current economic situation in the country. Leaving aside the extravagant demands for driving V8s, ordinary citizens will continue to suffer. We don't expect any good change from them. Isaac Itang in Bantu Town asks, what is happening in regard to commodities going up instead of coming down against the US dollar? It is a big challenge because the government cannot do anything about this due to heavy taxation. We urge for economic sector reforms. Thanks, VOA. Mabor Alat Rengo from Rumbek in Lake State says, I am wishing all the Muslims across South Sudan and beyond happy Eid al-Fitr. May their long fasting bring peace to Africa's newest nation, South Sudan, because we are tired of hearing reports of deaths daily as a result of revenge killings. Also, I want to react on 550 MPs being nominated by different parties to represent their constituencies. I have no trust in them because many of them had been there since 2010 without coming to their communities to ask them about the challenges facing them. Shol Amor Red from Jonglei State says, it is only in South Sudan that individuals fail to perform their own responsibilities and they ironically blame Salva Kiir for their own failures. Even a mere fisherman fishing along the Nile blames Kirdit when his or her nets fail to catch some fish. Besides, when a person is given a certain authority to work for the interests of the communities in South Sudan, he or she instead coated themselves with jacket of corruption, ethnicity, discrimination and hatred. Let's embrace a high level of ethical responsibility and work together for the betterment of our beloved nation. Together we excel. Jacob Dior Machweng from Rumbek Lake State says, I am heartbroken for the conflict in Chwaibet County, which is taking many lives on a daily basis, and there is no response from state or national governments. Our people have finished themselves on sectional lines. I call upon the governor of Lakes State to intervene and rescue the women and vulnerable people who are unable to relocate themselves. Peter Goj Anyang Majangdul in Block 3, Bor Town says, 550 MPs, and if we add the yet-to-be-reconstituted states MPs and Council of States, then we will have more than 1,000 MPs. Thereafter, the country will have two distinct groups of honorable and vulnerable. James Dor Chienkweu Ayel in Juba says, I hope nothing at all from the revitalized Transitional National Assembly reconstituted parliamentarians, since all the executives are the ones being reappointed to RTNLA to sabotage the implementation of the revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflict in South Sudan. Deng Tinjok from Tony says, our current reconstituted lawmakers would like to portray to the entire citizenry the independence of the legislature from the executive branch by pressuring ministries which are not delivering quality service to the citizens. And finally, someone who calls himself Uncle Jay from Numuli Town says, congratulations to the administration of Major General Alfred Futiyo Karaba, governor of Western Equatoria State, for banning the sale of imported alcohol. Genesis 19:30-38 says, Lot was so drunk he did not know what he was doing. This led to immorality. But how will this order be executed without fear and favor in real practical form? He wonders. Thank you for all your comments. Keep them coming. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of Voice of America or this program. I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
Thanks, Nabil. Keep those comments coming. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you in a dancing mood with the song Asogoro by Emmanuel Yore. We've been listening to Emmanuel Yore with the song Asogoro. I'm John Trans in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for COVID-19. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm not afraid.